This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, Rob Fay Nation can't slow down. It's gonna go.
Yeah.
Boom! Look at, he's out cold.
Yeah. The greatest pound for pound fighter.
The cream of the crop.
We are just hours away from the weekend. I'm Rob Fay. Welcome to your Friday edition of Sports Bar Radio, where we get you caught up in everything going on in the world of sports. Think about this. One podcast, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where in a matter of what, minutes, you get caught up with everything that's happened in the world of sports, and I preview everything that is coming up in the world of sports. It's your one-stop shop for everything sports, and I am so happy to bring this show to you, presented as always by Equity Guru. If you want, you can subscribe, you can like, you can review. Any of those five-star ratings I will take with my fingers crossed. Thank you. I hope you enjoy what we're doing here. Hard to believe that we're already in our mid-50s when it comes to episodes that we've been able to post on this fine show. And the beauty is we're going to be doing a lot more thanks to Equity Guru. And I hope you will continue to check out this show. All right, you know how we do this show. We get you caught up with everything. We get you set for everything. But there's that one story, that one thing that you just can't get away from. We call that the lead.
We've scoured the globe for the stories that matter to you. Okay, well, let's be honest, Rob picks most of the stories, so maybe they matter more to him? Anyways, pull up a chair and let our bartender pour you a cold one, because there's a lot going on in your world today.
All right, it's been a little bit of time since I've gotten my back up against something. It's usually hockey. Hockey seems to be the one sport when I do this podcast where I can get a little pepper in my pants, because the reality is sometimes I see things and I just shake my head. So the NHL Players Association came out with one of their fancy polls, and they asked 500 NHL players, if you had one game and you needed one player onto your team to lead you to said victory, which player would you want? And it wasn't Nathan MacKinnon at the top of the poll. It wasn't Sidney Crosby at the top of the poll. It was Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers, who were swept in the Stanley Cup playoff first round by the Winnipeg Jets. And I don't want to hear the story about overtime and goaltending. This is the guy that, with all the chips on the table, you want on your team. Sure, in the regular season, absolutely. 100 points in 53 games. You cannot take that away from him. It's his. He owns it. But in the postseason, to get swept in the first round, and now all of a sudden have your cohort say that this is the guy, that if I had one game, this is the guy. Wasn't there in game one. Wasn't there in game two. Yeah, I know he got a couple of points in game three and four, but you know what? He is on a team that has never been able to get over the hump. He's on a team that has never been able to win a Stanley Cup. He has never been in the final of a Stanley Cup. And yet you want to go to war with this guy more than anybody else? Why? See, this is the problem that I have. You look at players and you say, individual skill, that's a guy. That's a guy I got to have on my team. He's going to lead me to the promised land. He's never won. He's never won. Sure, he can get points better than anybody else. Rack him up in the regular season. Sidney Crosby has won multiple Stanley Cups, gold medals, everything that you could ask a Sid the Kid he's been able to do. And sure, he's a little longer in the tooth, but he's a winner. And I don't want to hear about the GMs that can't build around these athletes. You're talking about a one-game winner-take-all, and Connor McDavid has never answered that bell. I just don't get it. Give me Jonathan Taves. Give me Patrick Kane. Give me somebody that knows what it's like to go through the tall grass and get to the other side. You can't say players like Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, because they're busts in the postseason. I thought you wanted to win a game. Not just have a guy that can rack up a couple of points, but help you win. You know who wasn't in the top three of said poll? Steven Stamkos is not in the top three. Alex Ovechkin, with a Stanley Cup ring, is not in the top three. And this is a part of the problem. We get so enamored with regular season statistics, and that's got to be a guy that's going to be a Stanley Cup champion one day. That's got to be a guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. Until you do something in the postseason that gets you at least to the Stanley Cup final, you're not even allowed to be in this conversation. Bring me winners. Bring me guys that have been there, that have hoisted the Stanley Cup above their head. And yet you look at that poll, and it's the usual boring, unresearched players that because they did great things in the regular season, well, they're the guys. They've got to be the guys. They score goals in the regular season. And yet when the postseason comes around, swept. Come on, man. Like, is that where we're at right now? We just go and grab the fanciest player from the regular season and say that must be the guy. Like, come on, guys. Like, these were NHL players that were asked this. And the question wasn't who's the most skilled. The question wasn't who has the most talent. The question is if you had one game and you needed one player to help get you over the hump, who would it be? Who would be that one guy that would lead you to the promised land? And one out of three NHL players picked a guy on a team that just got swept in the first round and has never been able to raise a Stanley Cup above his head. And that's your guy. It's a popularity contest at this point. Like, it really is a popularity contest at this point. It drives me nuts because I sit here and I see a certain faction of players, Patrice Bergeron. I'd rather have him. Bring me winners. Like, is that a lost art in today's polling? Do we just sit there and look at the numbers? Have we gone too analytic? Like, that maybe is the big problem here, is that we sit here with our pie charts and our grids and we look around at what everybody else is saying. Go to the ice and look at the winners. Not the guys that just score points, but the guys that can get you to the championship, the guys that can get you over the hump. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying that Connor McDavid isn't a great player, but to me, a great player is a guy that can lead his team to championships. Not individual accolades, not just making your line good, but winning series in the first round of the playoffs would count for something, no? Like, I thought the question was, if you needed one player to get you where you needed to go, who would you take? And the guy that you picked is a guy that got swept in the first round? Did you read the question? I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. Maybe that's my problem, is I'm just sitting here thinking, and I wasn't trying to get pissed off today. Like, I'm not sitting here, I'm looking for some Friday heat. I just saw that poll and I said to myself, come on, man. Like, is that where we're at? These are the players. This isn't some fat dude like me sitting behind a computer trying to get some hot takes. This is the NHL players themselves. And you picked a guy that can't win. Oh, but that's right. He scored 100 points in the regular season. Well, how far did that get him in the postseason? All right, there's got to be some other stuff we could talk about. I can't just sit here and rant for all this time and not have something better for you. Let's take a look at what's going on in the world of sports. Let's talk about teams that are actually still in the postseason, shall we? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's get you to the other part of this sports bar. I've brought you right through the front door and just bombarded you with a take on Connor McDavid, but let me get you to where we keep all the TVs, where we keep the best bartenders with the best sports takes. Let me get you into the VIP room.
You knew tonight was going to be a good night, didn't you? Guys, the ladies don't want you wasting their time, so get to the point. 10 topics, 10 minutes. Hold on to your drinks because we're about to bring you the entire world of sports before the DJ can pull out the vinyl for his next set. Welcome to the VIP room.
All right, if we're talking hockey, let us get you caught up with what happened last night in the NHL, where the Tampa Bay Lightning take a 2-1 series lead over the New York Islanders with a 2-1 victory. The Lightning, if you follow the numbers, are so good when they score first, and that's what they did on Thursday. Lightning improving to 10-1 when they score first in the postseason. They're 0-3, by the way, when they allow the first goal. So when Yanni Gord scored his third of the postseason halfway through the first, you knew the Lightning were probably feeling pretty good about what their chances were with those numbers so heavily on their side. Braden Point scored for the sixth straight game, his NHL-leading 11th goal of the Stanley Cup playoffs. His third game-winning goal. He's now tied with Vegas Golden Knights forward Max Pacioretty and Ryan Pulak of the Islanders for the NHL lead. Andre Vasilevsky was awesome in this game, making 27 saves for the Lightning, who are now 6-1 on the road this postseason. You want more good numbers if you're a Tampa Bay fan? I got them for you. Teams that take a 2-1 series lead are 89-25 in winning a best-of-seven NHL semifinal. That is a 78% chance of winning. And to get back to Brayden Point very quickly, he is the first Lightning player to score in six straight playoff games and the first in the NHL since Martin Havlat did with the Ottawa Senators back in 2006. Game 4 set for Long Island Saturday afternoon. All right, so what's coming up tonight? Montreal Canadiens responding to their first trip of the NHL season outside of Canada with a pivotal split of the first two games of their Stanley Cup semifinal. Now it's the Golden Knights' turn to be in rather unfamiliar territory. Vegas making the trek north for Game 3 to take on the Montreal Canadiens in a completely different environment. Now, what do the Golden Knights have to do if they want to get back onto the winning side of the hockey ledger? They've got to be better in the faceoff circle. Vegas came into the series with one of the best success rates of all the NHL teams, but have been handled mightily by the Canadiens in this part of the game. Here's why it's so important. Four of Vegas' six goals in this series have come on offensive zone faceoff wins. They've got to do better in the circle. The Canadiens, they played great in Game 2 after looking flat in Game 1, but now they return home to play in front of a crowd of about 2,500, 3,000 fans, and that's not going to be anywhere close to what they experienced at T-Mobile over the past two games. But fans or not, Montreal's record at home is something of concern. Just 16-13-4 this season. The X factor, Carey Price. He's been outstanding wherever he's played, but he's been really good at home. His goals against average in Montreal is 1.91. He's got a .930 save percentage in five games. Vegas, by the way, averaging just 2.5 goals over their first six road games of the Stanley Cup playoff. And one more juicy tidbit for you. The Golden Knights are 1-5 in their last six games in Montreal. Well, it's a big night if you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan. It is an even bigger night if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan. Hawks are looking to complete their upset of the 76ers. This would be a stunning upset, considering what the Hawks have already done in this postseason. You gotta wonder how Philadelphia is going to bounce back from that major Game 5 collapse. 76ers led by as many as 26 points back on Wednesday before watching the Hawks complete a shocking rally to take a 3-2 series lead in this best-of-seven. And the eyes are all on 76ers point guard Ben Simmons. He has been rocked by Trae Young all series long. Do you know he's made just 31% of his free throws against Atlanta? He was 4-14 on Wednesday night, and you gotta think that that might have cost the 76ers. But Simmons hasn't just struggled against the Hawks. He shot 36% from the foul line in their opening series over Washington. Why did Atlanta come back on Wednesday night? Well, it was more than just Trae Young. Yeah, Trae Young got the headlines, but the secondary scoring was a part of the reason that right now Atlanta is a game away from the conference final. John Collins had 19 points. Danilo Gallinari had 16. Lou Williams had 15. Philadelphia had just two players score more than 8 points in their loss. And with this game being in Atlanta, you know they want to close it out. The 76ers are 2-4 against the spread in their last six road games. And right now, it is Hawks by 3. A lot of people putting money on Philadelphia, but I'll tell you this. Philadelphia is going to have to play the game of their life to not only make this a best-of-seven series, but more importantly, get over those demons from Game 5 that were oh so noticeable. All right, to the diamond we go, and as good as it was for the Toronto Blue Jays over their first 50 games of the Major League Baseball season, it has been a rough stretch for Toronto, and a lot of the focus right now is on their bullpen. They just lost 8-4 to the Yankees, the Pinstripers sweeping Toronto, further pushing them down the American League East standings. Giancarlo Stanton with a go-ahead homer in their 4-run seventh inning, the Yankees with a triple play as well, as Anthony Castro takes the loss to fall to 1-2. Hopefully Toronto will find some reprieve as they get ready to travel to Baltimore. Robbie Ray 4-2 getting the ball opposite left-hander Bruce Zimmerman 4-4. But really quickly to get back to Toronto, as bad as it's been for the bullpen, as much as Toronto is struggling right now, one player that you just cannot take your eyes off of is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You keep waiting for him to let up, but it's just not happening. He's tied for the American League lead in batting average at .342. He's first in on-base percentage, first in slugging percentage, tied for the American League lead in home runs and RBIs, and tied for second in runs scored. So with everything going so well, some are wondering whether Vladdy should take part in the upcoming home run derby at the All-Star Game in Colorado. That's in a couple of weeks' time. Now, if you remember, what he did a couple of years ago in 2019 in Cleveland was epic. What was it? 91 home runs over his three rounds? But when you're swinging the hot bat and everything's going right for you, do you take part in an event like this? There is rumors that it's going to be Tatis Jr., Ronald Acuna Jr., and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. that could take part this year. And even further to that, there is potential that Juan Soto becomes a part of that competition as well. And if all of those young superstars are in, those could be huge numbers and something that Vladdy just couldn't say no to. And let's circle back really quickly on the Seattle Mariners, because it was a great night for that team tucked away in the Pacific Northwest. Kyle Seager was having an off night, and I'm not talking about 0 for 4. He was actually not in the lineup. But with two runners on in the ninth inning of a tie game, Seager comes out from the dugout at T-Mobile Park and yanks a single through the right side of the infield to score Jake Bowers, and it gives the Mariners a 6-5 walk-off win over the Tampa Rays. That doesn't happen very often. Tampa has usually been lethal in the eighth and ninth inning. But for Seager, it was his first game-winning pinch hit ever. Isn't that something? The win for Seattle allows them to keep pace in the American League West, but boy, it's going to be real tough to catch Oakland. They've won 6 in a row. Houston is trying to keep pace with the A's. They've won 4 in a row. The only team right now that is struggling in the American League West is Texas, who woke up this morning 17 games out of first. Toronto Blue Jays very quickly 33-34. They are also 8.5 games off the pace in their division. And by the way, the team that is looking like they might have the first overall draft pick in next year's draft might not be Baltimore. Despite the fact that Baltimore is 22-46, there's a team pulling up the rear behind them. The Arizona Diamondbacks. A couple of years ago, they were right in the thick of things in the National League West. They lost their 14th consecutive game last night. They are 20-50 on the Major League season. It's amazing how the mighty have fallen. All right, to Euro 2020. Couple of games from yesterday. Ukraine getting past North Macedonia 2-1. Belgium beating Denmark 2-1. Everybody watching the Danes to see how they would bounce back from their concerns with their teammate Christian Eriksen. And the Netherlands shutting out Austria 2-0. Earlier today, the Early Bird Special saw Sweden get the only goal of their game against Slovakia. And their matchups today included Croatia and the Czech Republic and England taking on Scotland. Well, the first round of the U.S. Open actually saw a Canadian hanging out in the conversation. Just three shots off the pace was Adam Hadwin. He carded a 1-under in his first round. But after a foggy morning at Torrey Pines, it was Russell Henley who had the lead. Louis Oosthuizen also went 4-under. And some of the big names were hanging around as well. Brooks Koepka shot a 2-under 69. How about this? It was his sixth consecutive round in the 60s at the U.S. Open. Now, because of the fog at Torrey Pines yesterday, a handful of players had to finish up their rounds earlier this morning. Mackenzie Hughes of Ontario was one of those players. He's 2-over. Corey Connors of Ontario and Taylor Pendrith of Richmond both shooting 4-over in the first round. And even though the CFL has said that they are going to be back this year starting August the 5th, Dr. Howard Yu of the Public Health Agency of Canada continuing to review the CFL's return to play protocols and has not provided a timeline for when the final approval might come. New saying that, quote, obviously time is of the essence. They have proposed their timeline in terms of training camp and the start of the season, but wouldn't commit to his assessment being done by July the 10th. You've got to think that they're going to be able to get this thing underway. If you think that the CFL games are basically played in outdoor stadiums, everybody's going to be outside. So the simple question comes back down to capacity. Now, I'm not sure if the CFL is trying to push them on this. Obviously, they want more butts and seats so that they can gain a little bit of revenue, try to get back onto the black side of the ledger. But the only thing that's become firm is that the federal government has made 60,000 rapid tests available to the league. The rapid tests will be used for players, coaches, and staff. And they will also be used for personnel such as off-field officials and game day staff. I would assume that it simply comes down to how many Canadians are vaccinated. But don't expect the CFL in any of their venues this year to get to 100% capacity. All right, let's take our break here. When we come back, we're just going to keep this big old sports truck moving forward. A couple of neat storylines on the other side of the break with regards to the future of sport when it comes to teams in Vancouver. I'm going to break three teams down for you. We're going to talk about the Canadiens, we're going to talk about the Giants, and we're going to talk about the Fraser Valley Bandits. Three teams that have obviously struggled during the pandemic, three teams that face unique challenges. I'll explain to you what those challenges are on the other side of the break. I'm Rob Fay. You're listening to your Friday edition of Sports Bar Radio, as always, presented to you by Equity Guru.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and madmen.
This segment is brought to you by Globex Mining, a mineral royalty company with 96 properties that has doubled in value since April. Globex owns assets in the area of precious, base, specialty, and industrial metals, and recently sold one of its exploration properties to the giant Yamana Gold for $15 million, a lithium property sold to First Energy a week earlier. Their ticker symbol, GMX. For more information on Globex Mining, visit www.equity.guru.
Welcome back to Sports Bar Radio with host Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity.guru.
All right, it's your Friday edition of Sports Bar Radio. I am Rob Fay. Thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. And again, you and I can interact. There's a couple of ways you can do it. You can go on social media, hit me up on Twitter at Rob Fay, which is R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I. And let me know what you think of the show. As well, you can always subscribe, like, review on any of our social platforms, whether it is iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you download your pods. Please let me know what you think of the show. And maybe there's a sport that you don't hear enough about. Just let me know. I'm trying to build this for you specifically. And if there's something you want to hear about within the general constraints so that it's not, you know, tiddlywinks or something like that. If there's something I can do for you, just let me know. Let's build this together. So one of the things that I've been watching, and again, from about 5,000-10,000 feet, is what are these teams doing in the Lower Mainland in Vancouver to get ready for life, quote, after the pandemic? All of these teams have different challenges. For example, the Canucks, obviously, they were able to get a season in. Even though they didn't have butts in seats, they still at least got their season in, so they're front of mind. BC Lions have had to miss a season, but as I mentioned just in the previous segment, they're trying to get their return to play finalized so that they can get their season going. And the Vancouver Whitecaps and Vancouver Canadiens have had to go south of the border, Canadiens in Portland, Oregon, and the Whitecaps to Sandy, Utah. But let's take a look at a couple of these teams, and I'll actually start with the Vancouver Canadiens because their president has suggested that he wants to play games in Vancouver this summer. Andy Dunn got together with Steve Ewan, a longtime reporter of the Vancouver province, and came together for an article where Andy Dunn suggested that they are looking by hell or high water to get games in Vancouver this season. That, to me, has a number of prickly bushes if they're going to get that done. One, yeah, sure, they might have a couple of fans in the stands. What are we talking, 50, 100, 250? But the goal is somewhere in and around August. And that, for me, as I look at my calendar, is a month and a half away. And here are the challenges that I see from, again, a guy on the outside looking in now. One, you've got to staff the building. If memory serves me correct, there's probably only 4 or 5 physical people on site right now. So you would have to get your field staff together. You would have to get at least some semblance of your ushers and game day staff together. You would have to get all different people. I mean, you'd have to get a sales department built back again, because what a lot of people don't forget is in a lot of these organizations, they furloughed their staff and not everybody has repopulated yet. So for the Vancouver Canadiens right now to have split their staff between Hillsboro, which is a suburb of Portland, and those who remain in Vancouver, to all of a sudden throw kind of the proverbial curveball in the dirt and say, you know what, we're going to play in Vancouver this year. Well, that's fine and dandy, but you've got a grounds crew of 2 at best. You've got a general manager on site, and you got a couple of accountants. You need a boatload of people, even if you're going to welcome but a handful of fans to the stands. You're still going to need limited food. You're still going to need a little bit of merchandise. You're going to need that field ready. You're going to need your video board turned on. You're going to need somebody to play the music. You're going to need a lot of bells and whistles. And that's before you get that stadium ready to welcome a professional baseball team back. Hey, listen, I would love to see baseball in Vancouver this summer. Trust me, I think it'd be fantastic to have the Vancouver Canadiens back in-house. But boy, if you think about where they are at currently right now in a really good setup in Oregon, sure, we don't get baseball in Vancouver this summer. But I think we can live with that, knowing in 2022 that hopefully we'll be at the point where they can swing open the doors and those fans who do go to the game get the full meal experience and the players get that experience as well. I would just stay in Portland. I would just bite the bullet on this season, get through it down there. Hopefully they can get some communique back here to Vancouver so that people and fans know what's going on. And I've never used that word communique before, but you know what I'm trying to say. Get the word back to Vancouver that things are going well south of the border. Because to me, I just think the amount of pressure that that puts on your organization on both sides of the equation. All of a sudden, you're going to bring what? Your team back, which means you have to bring your equipment back, which means you have to get the stadium ready in Vancouver, which means you have to get the travel there. You got to get housing for the players. You got to get housing for the staffs. You got to get them. Like, dude, there's just so many things to do there. That's unbelievable if they pull that off. And I just don't know why you would try and pressure your rock to turn it into a diamond when you really don't need to for this season. I think at this point, people in Vancouver have long accepted the fact that the Whitecaps and the Canadians are done for this year, that they're going to be out of town for the duration of the season. We can wait. We just want the experience back eventually, and hopefully in 2022, that's when we see the Canadians back in town. Now, different beast when it comes to the Vancouver Giants. Ron Toigo did get a chance to see his Giants in the bubble up in the interior, but they've got to get butts in seats back at the Langley Event Center. Question here is, will they be able to get the quality players in-house? Will they be able to get their training camp done? And will they be able to play in a venue where they can bring people back to the stadium? This is the part that I think a lot of people forget. Sure, they got their season in. They got a handful of games so that the scouts could see the prospects and people would at least at time mention the Giants by name. But if you don't have people in the stands, it is a loss yet again for all those teams in the Western Hockey League. You can't have one without the other. Like, I'm telling you right now, Ron Toigo probably doesn't want a season if there's no butts in the seats. He probably takes loss. Dude, you got to think that all these guys lost millions of dollars during this pandemic. And unfortunately, insurance doesn't cover off everything. So to think that he would have to go again and start up a WHL season, but do it with what, 50 people in the stands? 250 people in the stands? This is a loss. It's a loss unless they're at least at minimum 50% capacity. Like, for the Vancouver Canadians, why would you do that other than just, you know, good faith? You know, hey guys, look at the baseball team. We're back in town. We made it. But they're not making money. The Giants aren't going to make money. The Fraser Valley Bandits of the Canadian Elite Basketball League aren't going to make any money if there are no butts in the seats. This is the X factor for everything. It's Dr. Bonnie Henry. It's John Horgan, the premier of this province. It's making sure that we can open these venues. And I'm not saying whether they should or they shouldn't. I'm not getting into that depth of the water. But all I'm saying is, you got to think straight up here that if these teams don't get people into their venues, don't do it. Like, it's actually a loss, because there are certain things in business that you can write off as a loss. But once you open those doors, you're paying for staffing, you're paying for the hydro, you're paying for the electricity, you're paying for all of it. And for what? A handful of fans to say that they were there and to at least get your team back in your own building? This pandemic has absolutely rocked our sporting community, and I think it'll be years before we finally get to be able to put a number as to just how much money has fallen by the wayside. Like, I look back, and again, I hate being back to circle on the Vancouver Canadians again, but I've got to think that they've lost $2 million this past year in advertising revenue, in having to go down to Portland, in not having the money coming in, but the money still going out. I got to think that's in the millions. I mean, sure, certain advertisers probably hung with them, and a lot of them maybe just deferred their money until 2022 or 2023 or whenever they finally get back on their feet, but that's not money coming in right now. That's money already accounted for that you're pushing back on the books. This is trouble, man. Like, there's a lot of teams that I wonder if they're going to be able to truly get through this on the other side, or maybe some owners just say, screw it, I'm cashing out. And sure, maybe I don't get the money that I thought I was going to get 2 or 3 years ago on this franchise, but man, I ain't doing this again. Then you look at a team like the Fraser Valley Bandits, a team that was just getting their traction when the pandemic hit. You got to remember, this is only the third year for the Canadian Elite Basketball League. And now their venue, the place that they call home, the Abbotsford Center, is going to be taken over by the Vancouver Canucks AHL team. Do you think that those two organizations can collaborate? Do you think that they can both call that home? Do you think that there's enough money in there to retrofit that stadium for two sports? Yes, I know it's a hockey venue, and yes, I know they can play basketball in it, and trust me, that 7,000-seat stadium in Abbotsford is gorgeous. It is a fantastic place with suites, with seating, a giant video board. It is perfect for both sports, but not sure if the Aquilinis are going to want to share with the Canadian Elite Basketball League. So, if you're the Canadian Elite Basketball League, what do? You look for greener pastures? Do you look for other venues across the Lower Mainland? I had this conversation the other day. If they couldn't play at the Abbotsford Centre, where would you put that organization? Would you simply say, okay, well, they're going to go to the Langley Event Centre? You got to check dates on that. Would you dare bring them across the bridge and bring them into Vancouver? Would you bring them to Coquitlam or Burnaby or straight up to Vancouver? Would you change the name from Fraser Valley to Vancouver or from Fraser Valley to Abbotsford or Langley? There's so many things that go into play here, but it's a key time for this basketball league in this province because you've got an opportunity. Do you move them to the interior? Do you move them up to Kelowna? Again, questions everywhere. So as everybody starts to feel that normalcy is returning to us in our general life, these sports teams around us have a million balls that are still up in the air. No team in this province is feeling confident as it stands right now. And sure, Dr. Bonnie Henry is starting to open up the province again, and maybe one day we'll get to see the border open up again. And these are the general life things that we're looking forward to. But from a sporting perspective, 50 butts in the seats, 250 butts in the seats, even 500 butts in the seats are not enough to sustain a positive balance when it comes to the books on all of these professional sports teams, all of them. So what gives? What team is going to break first? Is there going to be a team that is able to weather this? BC Lions are up for grabs right now. They're looking for new ownership. The Whitecaps are eventually going to come back. But what are they coming back to when they finally get across the border and back into Canada? Lots of questions, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Hit me up on Twitter at Rob Fay, R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I. Let's take it team by team if you want to. You want to talk to me about the Canadians or the Giants or the Fraser Valley Bandits, who not everybody knows about, but trust me, once they get their traction and once we get past COVID, if they're still in the Lower Mainland, it's definitely a team you're going to want to check out. And full disclosure, I do the play-by-play for them, which is why I've got a little bit of a vested interest in their betterment, but I just think, even with the Vancouver Canadians, if you can't bring your team back and have people in the stands, don't do it. Just wait the extra year. You've already eaten your losses for 2021. What, you're going to come back and have people give you the thumbs up like, hey, you were great to bring baseball back to Vancouver? Stay where you are. It's a better venue in Hillsborough anyway when it comes to the day-to-day execution of a baseball team. The Nat is all nostalgia. It's the sushi races. It's the dancing grounds crew. It's all of the ambiance of the stadium. But as far as logistics go, you want to be in Hillsborough. Refurb the Nat, do what you got to do, and trust me, they got to dig deep into their pockets to get that done as well. But I just think that's the move you do not make for 2021. But again, maybe I'm in the minority on that thought process. All right, let's take our break here. When we come back, I'm going to make you a little bit of money, or at least I'm going to try to make you a little bit of money. Let's see what the Lions in Las Vegas are talking about when it comes to your teams. I'm Rob Fade. You're listening to the Friday edition of Sports Bar Radio, as always, presented to you by Equity Guru.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and Mad Men.
This segment is brought to you by Arizona Metals, a mineral exploration company working two 100% owned gold, copper, zinc properties in the mining-friendly U.S. state of Arizona. Arizona Metals stock has been on a strong upward move recently, doubling over the month of May and continuing upwards in June, and investors earlier in the year are seeing a 400% increase on their money. Their Canadian ticker symbol is AMC. For more information on Arizona Metals, visit www.equity.guru.
Hey, dear, rock and roll, rock on, ooh, my soul. Rock and roll, rock on.
Did you lose your seat? That's okay. I have a better one up front. Welcome back to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay.
It is the final segment of the week for Sports Bar Radio. I am Rob Fay, and yes, happy weekend. And I do want to say one thing. I know there's a lot of people out there that work on Saturday and work on Sunday. Hell, I do it myself. But just the prototypical Friday gets you ready for the weekend and hopefully some relaxation at some point, whether you're working or not. But to those who work, the weekend warriors, don't you worry. I know that you're putting in your hours, and I just want to say thank you for listening and thank you for everything that you do. All right, let's do a little betting, shall we? I'm 50-50 this week. I'm actually not too bad. I'm 6-6, which isn't going to win me a lot of pools, but it at least keeps me in the conversation, and it's a lot of fun just to bet this funny money that I'm doing every day. So let's get to it. Let's see if I can make you some real money. I think I can do it. Want to bet?
Can't tell you how many times I've had to break up shoving matches between two guys fighting over what team they think will win the big game. Boys, you want to know who locks and who the long shots are? Why didn't you just ask?
All right, let's start in the association. Atlanta Hawks with an opportunity to close out the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I mentioned this game a little bit in the start of the show, but let's get down to the numbers in this one. The over-under is 223, which is a really tough line. I'm not sure if I'm going to go over-under on this one. My gut says take the over, but it's too close a call that I'm not going to place my money there. You know what? This is a really tough one outright, so I'm just going to go with the straight win-loss because the plus-minus on this one, the spread, is +3 for Atlanta. That's also really tight. So I'm going to just say that Philadelphia is going to win this one. If you're going to ask me if they can cover that spread of 3, I'd probably say they will. But man, the 223, the over-under on that one is going to be really, really close. You know, certain websites like Pinnacle have it at 221, but 223 right now, which is what Oddshark is saying, is not something I feel comfortable betting on. So I'm going to take the win for Philadelphia, and I do, if I had to place a secondary bet, think that they will cover the spread and beat Atlanta by more than 3 points. Now, why do I say this? Because only once in the past 10 games has Philadelphia lost back-to-back games. And as bad as Ben Simmons has been at the free throw line, he is shooting an unbelievable 66% from the field. And I got to think that he's going to step up big tonight. Sure, Joel Embiid's going to get his. He had 39 in game 5. But I do believe Ben Simmons will be the X factor. You can quote me here on this one that even though the Hawks might do their hack of Ben, as opposed to the old hack of Shaq, that I think Simmons is going to step up big and have himself a good game. They need bench scoring. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. If Philly gets anything off their bench, they're going to be in good shape. Got to remember, only two players scored in the fourth quarter of that loss in game 5 to the Hawks. Can't have that happen, and I don't think that Doc Rivers is going to let that happen again in the city of brotherly love. All right, to the ice we go. Montreal Canadiens at home getting ready to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 3 of this series that is knotted at 1. This is where the Canadiens are going to really try to buckle down. I am going to take the under in this game, and I'm going to pound money on the under. I think Carey Price is going to step up. He's going to have a great game as well. Over-under on this one is 5, and usually I try to stay away from going under when it's 5. If it's 5.5, I get a little more leeway, but this means that there's only going to be 4 goals in this game, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think these two goaltenders are going to step up. Marc-Andre Fleury back in his home province, and of course Carey Price back at home. So despite the fact that the over-under is 5, I am going to go with the under, and that's also bucking a trend because Vegas has gone over in 8 of their last 11 games. But here's another thing that makes me feel a little better. Total's gone under in 4 of Montreal's last 5 games at home, and the total has gone under in 6 of Montreal's last 9 games when playing as the underdog. So who do I think is going to win this game? I think Vegas will claim game 3, but I think it's going to be one of those 2-1, 3-1 finals. So I'm going under and Vegas to win. And finally, let's go to the diamond where the Giants are going to send Johnny Cueto in his 4-3 record with an ERA of 4 to the mound opposite Vince Velasquez, 2-1 with an ERA of 4.25. Reason I'm taking a look at this one is San Francisco remains red hot in the National League West. They've won 4 in a row. 4-1 of their last 5 games against Philadelphia Phillies. And the San Francisco offense is red hot coming into this series. Now the Giants open at -120 and essentially still going at that same price. Philadelphia at +110 is the underdog of this matchup. Phillies are 1-6 in their last 7 road games against the Giants. So I expect San Francisco to stay hot. I think they will beat Philadelphia. And the total in this game, the over-under at 8.5, I think this one is going to go over. I think these two guys are going to get into the bullpens, and that offense for San Francisco is going to put up some runs. And one more tidbit, San Francisco has gone over in 4 of the last 6 games against Philadelphia. All right, those are my 3 picks. I wish you nothing but success, and more than anything, make sure that you do your own due diligence and please gamble responsibly. And you and I will check back together on Monday and see if you and I were in the money. Okay, just want to say thanks for an awesome Friday. Go and have yourself an awesome weekend. Do something. Crack a bottle of wine or hang out with some loved ones. Do something and enjoy this sunshine, which should be here for the better part of the weekend. I'm Rob Fay. I can't wait to be back with you on Monday. I'm going to go sip out and have myself a good old weekend, but I will be hard at work getting ready to bring you all the information for Monday's edition of Sports Bar Radio. On behalf of everybody with Equity Guru, I want to say a special thank you to Jay Swing, my brother from another, and to all of the staff over at Equity Guru, to Chris Perry, who continues to build a monster, to Galen, to JP Chung, and to the irreplaceable Priscilla Choi. I will see you in about 48 hours' time. Until then, be safe. I'm Rob Fay. This has been Sports Bar Radio, presented to you as always by Equity Guru.
Sports Bar Radio was brought to you by Equity Guru, investment information for the new generation. Visit us at equity.guru and let's make some money together. Please note, any mention of companies on this podcast is part of a promotional campaign, and the information you hear should be a part of extensive due diligence. As well, always get advice from an accredited financial advisor before you make any investment decision. Protect yourself.